number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
All right, glad you could join us. Hour number two here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I am Tony D, taking you through the night tonight here on a Friday. British Open now underway, round two. Phil Mickelson, the leader at 8-under par after a brilliant round one. Von Miller and the Denver Broncos will be signing a pretty cool deal for him. $70 million guaranteed, $114 million. That number remained the same. They were always set on that, the 6 years, $114. It was always how much of the guaranteed money was the issue for Von Miller. Now it's up to $70 million, and that's the most ever. What does this mean for not only the Broncos, but for NFL teams that are going to be dealing with those kind of defensive players in the future? We talked about this a little bit in hour one. It kind of would make me nervous if I was a capologist of a team. If I've got to start now figuring that, okay, quarterbacks should make a certain amount, and now good defensive players, we've seen the trend over the last couple of years, Ndamukong Suh, now Fletcher Cox, and now Von Miller. Defensive players cash in as well, and that's fine, but how many players are going to be able to start establishing themselves as top-tier NFL players that you got to make sure you keep? And what does that do when you want to keep other guys, even role guys, even second-tier guys that are still very, very important? So I think this is good for Denver, and I think it's good for Von Miller, of course. But at the same time, this does set an interesting chain of events that could go for the NFL, especially for the Broncos. Because the Broncos, we got to see how much of this ties the Broncos' hands for some other deals down the road. 800-777-2907 if you want to join us on the show tonight, at Tony D Radio on Twitter, if you want to hit us up there. Mark Cuban says that the Warriors and the way they're constructed is good for the NBA. Mark Cuban, the outspoken owner of the Dallas Mavericks, who I like a lot, said that the Warriors will now be the villains in the NBA, and people will root for them to lose, and they will be watched. Quote, they become the villains, Cuban said, just like when LeBron James went to Miami. I love that they were a villain. They become the villain. I'm fine with that. Everyone's going to root for them to lose. Now, Adam Silver, as we talked about yesterday, said that he does not like this at all. And although he respected Kevin Durant's right to go, and it was all legal, there was nothing shady about Durant going to the Golden State Warriors, that the idea of super teams bothers Adam Silver, the commissioner. I said yesterday, and I still contend, I don't think Adam Silver should be making those kind of comments. As an NBA fan, and he is, there's part of him that is an NBA fan. There's a part of him, if he quit tomorrow, would still be very interested in what the league offers in terms of entertainment. He can be as disappointed as anybody else. You know, I'm not a fan of it. I'm going to live with it, but I'm not a fan of it. I wish he stayed at Oklahoma City. It just feels weird that he's joining a team he couldn't beat. But as a commissioner, I don't think Adam Silver had any business going near this story. Because if you're the commissioner, your job is to take care of the owners and their interest. And although that other owners could see this and say, oh, I don't like it, in the end, what are you presenting America? What kind of product are you presenting America, the buying public? Why, if the commissioner thinks that this is bad for the NBA, why should I think it's good if I'm a season ticket holder to Milwaukee, if I'm a season ticket holder to the Miami Heat, or if I'm a season ticket holder to the Orlando Magic or the Atlanta Hawks? If the commissioner thinks this is a bad idea, why should I think it's a good idea? And if it's going to be, why is it bad for the NBA? Well, it creates a super team. Well, what's so bad about that? Well, there's a competitive imbalance. Oh, what do you mean by that? Well, with the super team, it's almost like the Golden State Warriors have an overwhelming advantage going into the season and to win a championship. Oh, well, that's not good. And thanks for telling me. I may reconsider going to a few games. So if you're the commissioner, that's not the face you want to paint. If you're the commissioner, that's not where you want to go. If you're the commissioner, you have to present this for what it is. All right, Kevin Durant, free agent, went to Golden State like all other free agents are allowed to do. We'll see. Be the old wise man in the corner. This is great for the village. We'll see. This is terrible. We'll see. Just keep saying that. Again, Adam Silver, the fan that goes back to his New York penthouse or wherever he lives, can lament this all he wants. He can tell his wife. He can tell his buddies. It's like, oh, this stinks. Golden State's so powerful. It's almost like there's no other, you know, outside of who's going to win in the West now. Well, we got to root for an injury to occur in order to get competitive balance in the NBA. I don't want to do that. But his commissioner, stay away. I liked Kuman's comments, though. I liked it because he also said later that there's no guarantee that they'll win a title. That super teams are super, but, you know, there's a lot of egos that go around, and there could be an injury that disrupts everything. So not all is lost in the NBA. And I think Cuban is right. Overall, the product is going to benefit in that way in terms of people wanting to root for Golden State to lose. That's the one reason I was uncomfortable, and I don't like this signing. I think that Golden State winning championships will not have that same feel-good moment to them. Steph Curry may still be America's darling, but Golden State, are they now the fun team, the very rootable, likable, huggable Golden State Warriors that we've known over the last couple of years? And maybe to you, they were never that way. I understand. But believe me, I went into the NBA store on Fifth Avenue about 2-3 weeks ago with my daughter, who loves Steph Curry. You couldn't buy all of the Golden State merchandise in that place. They had everything. Dub Nation t-shirts, different jerseys, different shorts, Steph Curry shirts. They had about 10 different versions of that. Steph Curry basketballs, Steph Curry pencils, backpacks. I mean, everything Golden State. They're a popular team. I go to the gym, I see little kids playing basketball. 3 or 4 Steph Curry jerseys, 1 Klay Thompson jersey. They're a likable team. Their kids are really loving Golden State, even if they've never seen them play in person. But this changes that for a lot of adults. But Cuban is right. I think Cuban is right on this. When you have a villain, that can really help eyeballs to your sport. Because that's the one thing about this. If Adam Silver is worried about, well, if there's no competitiveness, then there won't be people paying attention. Okay, that's a reasonable assumption. But Cuban is saying, not so fast. Think about this. There's a villain now that people can root against. And as we've seen in other sports, when there is something to root against, people are just as attractive to it as if they have something to root for. You remember what I told you about the New England Patriots of 2007, how I hosted that Super Bowl party? Well, When the Patriots were going for 19-0, we had a Super Bowl party at our house in Colorado Springs. And nobody in the building, no one in my house, was rooting for the Patriots. And nobody was a Giants fan. They just loved rooting for the Patriots to lose. They wanted so badly for the Patriots to lose. And that's what made it really interesting, because they were a villain. So Mark Cuban is right on the money here. Right on the money. Durant's addition makes Golden State a villain, and that's good for the NBA. Adam Silver doesn't like it because there's a competitive imbalance, but I don't think he has to worry about eyeballs being lost in the sport because, again, there's a villain. 800-777-2907. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Matt Lowe is going to join us. SEC Media Days. He's from Lindy Sports. He was at Media Days all week. I want to get to one thing that was said. I'm going to ask him about this. Chad Kelly, who's the quarterback for the Ole Miss Rebels, was asked at Media Days today if he was the best quarterback in the SEC. And Chad Kelly said, no, I'm the best quarterback in the nation. It was a great answer. Great answer. I hope they make t-shirts about it. I hope people in Oxford just eat that up. That's a great quarterback line. But the other thing was, and Chad Kelly, he's the nephew of Jim Kelly. He also talked about the influence of his father. He's, you know, because they wanted, you know, people wanted to ask him about his uncle, right? His uncle is the famous Jim Kelly. Did he learn a lot from his uncle? And I thought Chad Kelly's response to that was, you know, he looked up to his uncle and his uncle helped him out, but his father was always there. His father was always throwing him passes. His father was always teaching him the game. So it is easy to make that connection. Like, your uncle is the famous quarterback, and you must be, you know, directly influenced by him. But Chad Kelly was really good about, nah, my dad, guys. It was my dad that did all this stuff. So we'll talk to him coming up at the bottom of the hour. But coming up next, we talk about concussions in sports, and now one big name is suffering from that enough to keep him out of his sport for just a bit. We'll talk about who that is next. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, Matt Lowe is going to join us from Lindy Sports, talk SEC football. As we are, the players are going to be reporting in for that in just a couple weeks for preseason camp. Alabama will open up the season against USC. That should be great. Great. Looking forward to that. I think Ole Miss is playing Wisconsin. I gotta look that up because those are good. So good matchups. Anyway, a lot of fireworks at SEC Media Days this week with some players saying some cool stuff. Chad Kelly saying he's the best quarterback in the nation. We talked about Dan Mullen's kind of meltdown with the Jeffrey Simmons enrollment, the kid who punched a woman in a video and gets to enroll at Mississippi State. And Dan Mullen kind of botching that up a little bit. Les Miles, though, and I'm going to ask Matt this. I thought Les Miles was great today. I saw a lot of clips of Les Miles. I didn't watch it today, but I saw a lot of clips of it. And this is a guy that was on the hot seat last year. This is a guy who was technically fired and then kind of brought back. And it was really, really weird how that went down. Like, they wanted Jimbo Fisher, and Fisher stayed, and all of that. And then Les Miles got a kind of a second act, if you will. But he was very cool and collected. And he had mentioned what they were going through in Baton Rouge with the shooting, and how he wants his players to be leaders in the community and whatnot. He has a very good presence in those kind of situations. He just looks authoritative. And that's what I like. But I thought Les Miles handed himself really well today. I didn't get to see Will Muschamp. I was a little bummed with that because South Carolina got to speak today. And I really was looking forward to hearing what Will Muschamp was going to say about how he's going to turn everything around at South Carolina, how they were going to win games, how they were just give me the whole speech. But they were predicted to finish last in the division. My God, that's embarrassing. Like, here's my problem with this. You want to know why I'm mad about it? Here's why. Because my brother went to the University of Kentucky, okay? And my brother, we have a rivalry like all brothers, right? Like Eli and Peyton and Cooper. Me and my brother love to talk college sports. And he goes to Kentucky. So every October, when they're about ready to kick off Midnight Madness and all that other stuff, he's all jacked because Kentucky basketball. He knows all the recruits that's coming in. He knows what John Calipari's bringing to the table. He's really excited about this, or he's really excited about that. And this guy's staying an extra year. All of those things. And we're going to be playing North Carolina this year. And we're going to be on the road to play. He just loves Kentucky hoops. And you know what? South Carolina hasn't really been very good at basketball. So I have to concede that to him. But Kentucky's been mediocre at best in football. Every now and then had a pretty good year. I think 5-7 years ago they had a pretty good team. But for the most part, Kentucky football isn't that great. So that's one thing I get over him, right? Well, you're great at basketball, but in football, you know, SEC's a real football conference, and my school's better than yours. Not only is South Carolina predicted to finish last, Kentucky is three spots ahead of them at four, according to the media. That means South Carolina is not only worse than Kentucky, they're worse than Vanderbilt, who doesn't mind being a doormat for the division.
I have seen a lot of talk about Mark Stoops in Kentucky for some reason. I mean, even from Wetzel and Forty, everybody talking about this team.
Well, they like JoJo Kemp.
Yeah, yeah.
They love JoJo Kemp. So
some big games you're talking about with the SEC first week.
Yes.
UCLA and Josh Rosen come to Kyle Field to take on Texas A&M.
That's a good game.
LSU and Wisconsin.
Okay, LSU, Wisconsin.
That's at Lambeau. That's part of that.
That's
the game
right.
That was down here in Houston last year.
That's right. That's at Lambeau. They had one player talk about that today, about going to Lambeau to play that game.
Georgia will face North Carolina. 15th.
They're going to lose that game. I bet you $1 million they lose that game.
Oh, I'm sure they will. They actually go in as the underdog.
I bet you Georgia loses that game at Kirby Smart's first game.
Let's see. We got USC, and
they're gonna
Alabama.
Want them fired.
Oh, Georgia fans will go nuts when they lose to North Carolina.
Great.
Bama, USC.
That's a great game. I hope USC brings something to the table in this one.
I do, too.
I think they will.
Clemson faces Auburn.
Auburn is going to get slaughtered
yes.
in this one.
Yes, definitely.
Slaughtered in this one.
Steamrolled. And then the other big game is Mississippi versus Florida State.
Oh, that's right. I remember. Yes, that's right. Mullen wanted to get off the Jeffrey Simmons thing so badly he started talking about the Seminoles.
That'll be a Monday night football game.
Oh, very good. Jimbo Fisher and the Florida State Seminoles going up against Mississippi State, ringing those cowbells.
And you got your South Carolina Gamecocks taking on Vanderbilt. Week one on Thursday night.
Catch it. College football fever. Catch it.
Prime time. Big
hey,
matchup.
The winner of this game is unlikely to finish last in the division. Stick around as the South Carolina Gamecocks take on the mighty Vanderbilt Commodores. SEC football, you can't get enough.
Trying to see if we got any other good games outside the conference. Obviously, Oklahoma-Houston is the big one.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Wait, now, is that game being held in Houston, or is that a neutral site place?
I believe it's down here at NRG.
NRG? Very
yes,
nice.
Down here at
Very
NRG.
Nice.
And then we got Notre Dame-Texas is the other good one.
Texas.
Yeah, we'll see what Texas
is. I hope Texas is back. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine about this. I'm really blown away. Texas has been mediocre for a couple of years now. Like you feel like they should rebound quickly.
Their fans think they're coming back.
Hope so. I think college football is better when Texas is good.
Yeah,
I think it just is. I think they don't have to be great. Don't get me wrong. I don't have to be great. They don't have to make the playoff or they don't have to win the national championship. I like it when they're decent. I like it when they're a threat. I like it when they're good. It gives the conference a little bit more punch. They are a premier college football program. I think it's better when they're good. There's some other teams. I got to be honest with you. There's some other traditional powerhouses that I wouldn't say that to because that's an easy cliche. But I'll say this. I hope I don't offend you Nebraska fans, but I don't care if Nebraska's good at all. I could survive Nebraska not being good. Doesn't matter to me. But I think there are some iconic programs that just make college football more fun when they're good. I think Notre Dame is one of them. I think Notre Dame has so many good teams on their schedule that if they were terrible, I mean, just terrible, think about what you would lose. You know, Notre Dame, Michigan, when they finally get that thing kicking and rolling again, but like back, you know, when they used to play in the day, they used to play Michigan State. They used to play USC, Stanford. They still do. Those games were really good. And it's better when Notre Dame is good. But like Nebraska, I don't care. Like Oregon, yeah, they're falling apart. I won't miss them. I won't miss them. But USC, I miss when they stink. I miss USC when they stink. Same thing with Florida. I love Florida, but when they're not very good, I don't miss them. Florida State, I would, because that's the kind of the team in the ACC that I trust more to give that conference a little pop. See, the thing with the ACC is every time there's a North Carolina State that pops up that's pretty good, or Wake Forest like 7 or 8 years ago was pretty good, you know, every now and then they'll get a team in the conference that plays really good football. Things come together. There's a good quarterback in town. He's developed really well, or they finally found some defense that works, or whatever it is. But the steady hand in the ACC is, you know, Florida State. Miami is another one. I think college football is better when Miami's good. I don't like it when Miami's not very good. Miami hasn't been very good. So those are just a couple of the teams. But Texas, I think college football is better when Texas is good. Alabama, the same thing, but not Auburn. Not Georgia. I don't think Tennessee is needed. But Texas, I think Texas is. All right, coming up next, Matt Lowe, SEC Media Days. We'll talk to him about Dan Mullen's comments, Chad Kelly's comments, how did Les Miles look, and what about my South Carolina Gamecocks last? How dare they? That's all coming up next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Well, they wrapped up the fun and frivolity of SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama, and there are a lot of things that were coming out of that. Les Miles and the LSU Tigers spoke on Thursday, Nick Saban on Wednesday, Will Muschamp is a new coach, Kirby Smart is as well. Matt Lowe joins us from Lindy Sports to kind of give us an idea of how the last 4 days went in Hoover. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, Tony. I appreciate having me on. It's always a fun time covering SEC Media Days. You never kind of know what's going to go down, so always a good time.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Les Miles. I saw some of his press conference. I didn't see all of it, but from what I saw, I don't know if he's just polished or he was really good today. He seemed to be saying some really nice things about some of the unrest that's going on in Baton Rouge. But for a guy that was on the hot seat, he handled himself well. What did you make of Les Miles' talk about the Tigers?
You know, Les Miles comes off as a sly fox. You know, he made his typical funny Les Miles comment when he asked one of the reporters at the end of his interview to put a space between his words, and I got a chuckle from the crowd. But you know, I mean, Les Miles is, let's face it, he's a leader in Baton Rouge. You know, he's a guy that's looked up to. And yeah, I understand he could potentially, you know, last year he was on the hot seat or whatnot. But let's face it, I mean, the guy has done an excellent job there. He's won a national championship. He almost won another. Year after year, he produces great players. He can recruit well. That's a hotbed for talent. But another typical great interview from him. And I especially like what he said about the community and being a leader in the community and talking about some of the things that Baton Rouge itself might have to do to make a better situation down there.
All right, Chad Kelly, the quarterback at Ole Miss, I thought it was neat the way he was asked if he was the best quarterback in the SEC. He said, no, the nation. I can respect a little bit of that during media days. But let's be honest. Give us an evaluation of Chad Kelly. How good is he? I mean, is he the best quarterback in the SEC? And if not, where does he stand in the nation?
Well, we at Lindy's think he is. We got him as the first-team All-SEC player. He's definitely got some capable weapons to throw to. But they lost Tunsil at left tackle, you know, so they'll have to replace that production there. I think they're counting on that freshman they signed to come in and kind of do that. But, look, you want your quarterback to be confident. He's the leader of the team, especially what all Kelly has been through as a maturation process from leaving Clemson and coming to Ole Miss. Coach Hugh Freeze talked about how much he has grown up. And he's one of the hardest workers on the team. He watches the most film on the team. So you want your quarterback to be confident. And, yeah, we think at Lindy's, we think he's the best quarterback in the league heading into the season, you know, with some fierce competition from Josh Dobbs from Tennessee.
All right, I don't mean to lump you in with all the other media, but full disclosure, I went to the University of South Carolina at last in the SEC East. That's where we're predicting Will Muschamp last. But in all seriousness, how bare is the cupboard at South Carolina? What Spurrier left?
I think it's pretty bare. And, you know, Spurrier had playmakers. You know, you think of Marcus Lattimore. You think of some of the receivers that he had, Garcia, quarterback. I will say that I totally do not agree with South Carolina being last in the East, by the way. We at Lindy's, we have them picked fourth in the division. I don't think they're going to be as bad off as some people think. You know, it just seemed like there was just a snowball effect on that team last year, especially after Spurrier resigned. But, you know, they lost a lot of close ball games. So with that being said, there's a kid from Opelika, Alabama, Jake Bentley, who I watch play some, and I think he's going to be an outstanding quarterback for them. David Shaw at Stanford was on him after his sophomore year. He's a kid that's got a 4.0 GPA, and Stanford really wanted him, and it seemed like a good fit until his dad got hired there as running backs coach. But, you know, you're going to get from Will Muschamp, your team, you can guarantee they're going to play better defensively, and they're going to be better defensively. Last year they had a really hard time stopping the run, and if you can't stop the run, you're not going to be a good defense. So, with that being said, I think, you know, Muschamp's problem at Florida was he didn't have a QB. You know, and he had some, but they left, like Jacoby Brissett going to NC State. But I think this Jake Bentley kid, and they got the McElwain kid, is a pretty dynamic player too. So If they seem pretty healthy at quarterback as far as the future is concerned.
Matt Lowe joins us, Lindy Sports, as we go over SEC Media Days and some of the predictions that were made. I look at the East and I see, okay, the predictions of Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia. But, Matt, give me a sense of, no matter who wins that division, how strong really is that division?
Well, I think this year it could be, Tennessee's legit, I think, and we at Lindy's think, we got them ranked sixth in the country. We think they're going to win the East. I mean, you look at that team last year, they lost, three or four ball games by just a couple of points, and they could have been an 11 or 12 win team, and I think adversity makes you stronger as a team. And with all the guys they got coming back, Bush Jones, I'm a fan of his. I like the way he coaches. I think he coaches with passion. I think his players exude that too on the field. I'm not going to give up on Florida because I think Jim McElwain is one of the more underrated coaches in America. And I'm not saying that just from him coming from Coach Saban, the Coach Saban training, doing what he did at Colorado State. I just think the guy's a heck of a football coach. I think he's a heck of an offensive mind. They signed the number one junior college running back in the country. And, of course, they're expecting Luke Del Rio to get do big things there. But, if he can get a vertical passing game going down there like he had with Greer before he was suspended, Florida's got the defense to win that division, no doubt.
Dan Mullen, and a lot of criticism about how he answered the questions about Jeffrey Simmons coming in. Could he have handled that better? That did not seem like a good answer. How did you evaluate that?
I agree totally. I thought it was kind of awkward. I think some of my fellow media members did as well. Just kind of he mentioned something like he didn't have anything to do with the ruling on the suspension and stuff like that. And I'm a fan of Dan Mullen as well. He's a guy that's built a pretty good program down there. And Mississippi State's not one of those powerhouse programs in the league that can win every year. It's like they can be good, a really good team, like every 3 or 4 years, with their recruiting. Yeah, but I just thought that was a very awkward moment. Anytime a man hits a woman, that's pretty serious in my opinion. And I think, especially what's going on, here recently, the NFL and stuff like that, with those kind of incidents, it should be unacceptable. And, he's the head coach of the football program, so he should take a little bit more ownership of that, in my opinion. It was kind of awkward moment, but, and Dan hasn't had many of those. So that's just kind of what it is,
Let's talk about Alabama real quick and how good they are. But in terms of where LSU is and in terms of where Ole Miss is Alabama head and shoulders above everybody else, or is this going to be a really nice battle in the SEC West?
I think it's going to be a good battle. And I'm going to tell you, if Brandon Harris can elevate his game at LSU, you're talking about a team that might run the table. Of course, they open up with Wisconsin and Lambeau Field, which should be a fantastic matchup. And they get Alabama at home. They got to go to Auburn early on in the season. If they get by those games, I definitely think they could do it. They got a veteran defense, and I think hiring Dave Aranda from Wisconsin, obviously he'll have an inside, matchup on when they play them in the opener. But I think the 3-4 fits LSU's personnel a little bit better that he runs. So, you're talking about a veteran team. They got a lot of starters back, but Brandon Harris is the key. If he can really develop in the passing game with Cam Cameron, and Cam Cameron's proven that he can develop a quarterback and get it going if the guy could throw. So he did that with Mettenberger, and of course he's done it in the NFL. So that's a team that's dangerous. And Ole Miss, you look at them, again, it's like I was mentioned earlier, if they can get some sustained offensive line play, fill in for Tunstall there at left tackle. They got a good defensive line. They got a good secondary. They got the pieces to be in the mix too. So Alabama plays a brutal schedule. They probably play the toughest schedule in the country. So it'll be tough for them.
Matt Lowe, Lindy Sports on the SEC Media Days. Great insight onto that conference. Hope you come on again, my man. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Tony. Have a good one, buddy.
All right, because it's July, guess what? Now we get to talk about some food, and there is one dish the Cubs might be serving up that looked absolutely great. I'll tell you about it next. I'm Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the Third Shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks to Matt Lowe of Lindy Sports on SEC Media Days. I'm going to say this, and I mean this in the highest compliment that you could say. Matt Lowe sounds SEC, does he not?
Yes, 100%.
I mean that as a compliment.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he is Cracker Barrel, SEC, sweet tea, fried okra, Southern football.
And he knew his SEC teams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
He probably could have talked for hours on just each team alone.
That's why I like those guys. They really love it. I mean, they just love it. They know it, and they just absorb it. And
he went into those quarterbacks for South Carolina. And
my God, I don't even know the quarterbacks in South Carolina. I've already given up on the season, and it's July.
It's the last place team in the SEC, and he's throwing out three quarterbacks, one from Alabama. He fits so well, and he was so good.
I can't wait. Let's give a cheer. Never mind. This sucks. I can't wait till all the Gamecock
players basketball? I mean, damn.
When does baseball season start? Maybe. Oh, God.
Maybe women's tennis or something?
South Carolina, when I went to school there for the first time, and I went to my first game, it was against Duke. And Steve Spurrier was coaching Duke. And I had never gone to a game, and I was attracted to the South when I was a kid, and I wanted to go someplace where I could play more golf and just get out of the snow. And I wanted to go to a place that had big-time football. It didn't have to be good football. It just had to be big-time football. And I went to Florida State and looked at Florida State, but I went to South Carolina, and I loved it. I loved the campus. It's really nice. And I went to my first game, and they have this opening where they come out to the 2001 theme. I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. I thought it was so cool. So I couldn't wait for the Clemson game. And, I mean, I'm just this freshman, and I'm from New Hampshire, and I don't know anything about South Carolina and Clemson. And I met some kids, and they were from, the New York, New Jersey area, and they were like me. They were northern kids, but they were a couple of years older. And back then, I know it's story time with Tony D right now, so just bear with me. Back then, how you used to get your football tickets, I'm sure today's campus, like you just have it's something on your card and you just beep it, you know. But back then, you had to get physical tickets. So when the games were going to come up for the weekend, you'd have to stand in line. And they had like a group like Granddaughters of the Confederacy, like handing out the tickets. I mean, these were old Carolina women, like country fried Carolina women. I mean, the old women. That would give out the tickets. So you'd show your student ID, and they would give you. They'd ask you where you want to sit, and they would give you the tickets. So when I met some guys, and they were upperclassmen, and they were from New Jersey, New York, and they were like me, wanted to get out of the snow, and they gave me advice because they said, "Look, when you go up to those women, if you throw on that Yankee accent, they're going to give you the tickets behind the band, no matter what you tell them." Stand in front of the line, be one of the first in line. You want a 50-yard line seat, they'll put you behind the band. Trust me. I'm doing this for years. I go up there and they ask me, how many tickets you want? I go, well, I want two. Can I get by the 32, 30, 35, 40-yard line? And next thing you know, I'm behind the band and it stinks. So they learned a trick. They said, when you go up there, be as Southern as you can. And so they gave me this advice that you went up to the women and you'd go, well, hey, y'all look mighty tired giving out all them tickets. I tell you what, my daddy used to go down to these games back when he was a kid. I tell you, one of the things he told me, he said, if you can get tickets on the 50-yard line of Williams-Brice Stadium, you make sure you do. So, ladies, would you be sweet as pie if you could possibly hook an old Carolina dad with a 50-yard line ticket for this game? It means so much to my pappy. And sure enough, it worked.
Really?
Worked. It worked. Like, lay it on as thick as syrup. And they ate it up. Like, I remember Mike Hold. Let me tell you what, that quarterback could throw that football. I was a little dehydrated grasshopper. Mike Hold threw that football. He made that thing spire like the wind. I tell you right now, wow. Remember that one time William Refrigerator Perry tried to knock him down? He just stood right back up again and spit in his face. Yeah, man, it is. For a kid, now you just picture a kid from New Hampshire, like in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, like even where politicians would barely go, and go, that kid from that environment and put him in South Carolina. I thought sweet tea was healthy because it didn't have carbonation in it. I think I gained 35 pounds my first year in college. I just kept drinking this iced tea that just tasted massively delicious. And I was up all night. And that was the crazy thing about going to school there. But God, finishing last, this is an outrage. Outrage, I say. All right, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Real quick, the Chicago Cubs are going to be serving, did you see this, a deep dish Vienna dog pizza?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God, I saw that, and I went crazy. Let me say something, man. It is a great time to be a baseball fan going to these stadiums.
Oh, yeah.
Is it not?
Except I feel that like thing every... probably costs $14.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. There is also a massive price attached
to it.
At least
$14, probably.
I saw a picture of this thing, and I said, sweet Lord, that looks so amazingly good. Like, buying a ticket to a Cubs game is, you know, you're getting good baseball anyway. Now you might be getting an opportunity to eat this thing. Oh, man, it's fantastic. I could put this up on my Facebook page. This thing is a deep dish pizza made with a Vienna dog. It looks unbelievable. Now, I saw something earlier that the Arizona Diamondbacks were serving like a 2-pound ice cream sundae.
Yes.
Which, I mean, you know, like I said, when I was a kid, it was like Fenway Franks and chips.
Yeah.
Now you're getting all sorts of great ballpark food.
The White Sox do a, you know, like the old helmets that they're flat across the thing.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They do the big helmets. They do ice cream sundaes in those.
Oh, how sweet.
It's just,
awesome.
It's like three bananas and just a ton of ice cream piled on top. It's huge.
A deep dish Chicago-style dog pizza.
Sounds good.
In Chicago. Well done, Chicago. Well done. All right, coming up in the next hour, we'll have Adam's News of the Night, and we'll also talk to Alex Myers live from Royal Troon to get the latest on the Open. That's next, Yahoo Sports Radio.